9:05. Welcome back to the Chad Hasty Show. News Talk 790 KFYO. Online at KFYO.com. And, of course, the Radio Pup app, which is absolutely free to download. And you can take KFYO programming wherever you may go. A couple of days ago, the big news from the Lubbock Entertainment Performing Arts Association. Big announcement of surpassing really a fundraising goal of $45 million all the way to $47.6 million. And a little bit of change thrown in there as well. And joining me right now to talk about that, the history, the young history of LEPA and the direction LEPA is taking, the chairman, Tim Collins.
Good morning, Chad.
How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me here today.
Well, congratulations, first off.
Oh, well, thank you very much. We're excited.
Tell folks, you know, number one, how LEPA, how this all came together and how in under a year you guys were able to raise $47.6 million.
Well, let me you know, kind of start at the beginning. At the very beginning of this project, the Chamber of Commerce helped lead a feasibility study. We were approached by the CH Foundation and the Helen Jones Foundation and asked if we would help lead a study to understand what the needs were in our community for a new performing arts center. And when the study was completed, it was about 14 months, and it was funded by those two foundations. And after 14 months, they delivered us a package that told us how big a facility we needed, what the operational costs might be, what the budget for construction would be, and what they saw as the very best way to get this project completed. And their answer to that was a new nonprofit organization to go out and raise money and get the project built, and then to continue to be a part of it as the operator and owner.
And then the city council, they have donated land.
That's right.
Where the current, I guess now abandoned,
what we'll call the old DPS site.
Right. Yeah. The old DPS site, they've committed about $300,000 or so to tear that down.
Right.
Everything else is up to you guys.
That's right.
And you passed the trigger point for that to happen, where the city council said you got to raise $45 million. You've done that. You've raised $47.6 million. How did that come together in less than a year? Because you look at some of the other organizations just that have been out there, not only here in Lubbock, but statewide, national. It can take a long time to get that amount of money together. You've done so in less than a year. A lot of folks would say that's a pretty big success.
I think it's a great success, and Kathy Gilbert obviously deserves a lot of credit. She's our fundraising director. But we've had gifts from $100 to $10 million. You know, we had a great head start. I have to say that. We've had $10 million gifts each from the Jones Foundation and the CH Foundation. So that was a great start. Yeah. But we've had gifts ranging, again, from $100 to $10 million. And every single gift is critical to us, and every single gift, you know, to me, emphasizes the confidence that the community's putting in that this facility is going to be done and going to be done in the right way.
You have a goal of raising, as far as construction costs go, $85 million. Going forward now, do you think that the purse strings of some of the larger donors that might be out there, whether it be city, statewide, nationally, do you think those will start to loosen up a little bit?
I think this helps. What I've learned through this process is that these foundations and corporate donors want to be finishers. They want to know that when they commit money to a project that it's actually going to be done. Oftentimes you see someone make a commitment, they have to set their money in escrow, and then it has to wait in hopes that the project actually gets finished. And they all have tremendous numbers of asks out there. There are a lot of needs, and so when they set their money aside, they need to know that it's going to be used. They don't want it back. They want the money to go to the project that they choose to support.
Yeah. They want to see that there's going to be an end game, that there's going to be success.
Exactly. Exactly.
And going forward, how do you plan on involving the community? Because you said every donation matters. Every gift is great. Obviously, you've received a ton of big, large gifts. What about locally? I mean, how many supporters do you think, as far as monetary supporters, do you think that you're going to get out of this?
I think we're going to have a lot of support, and everybody's going to give at the level that they're comfortable with. Obviously, the mayor and his wife, Karen, made a gift at the presentation on Wednesday night of $5,000.
Right.
And $5,000 may be the spot for you to make a contribution. Maybe it's only $100. Maybe it's $100 for the next 5 years. You know, we are open to that. We've established a new website, LEPA.org. chamberofcommerce.org. There is a online donation portal there that you can go to and make a gift if you choose to. But it's going to be, you know, what hits everybody. And we will have, you know, we're so early in this and we've been successful so quickly that we haven't had a chance to get it all thought out. But I know that we'll be doing the bricks and we'll be doing the benches and we'll be doing name recognition for folks who want to give. And we'll get that, you know, we'll get that laid out. So a grassroots campaign will be, you know, certainly in the works. And what we're hoping for that is a lot of that to go towards the Operational Reserve and Endowment Fund.
Visiting with Tim Collins, chairman of LEPA, the Lubbock Entertainment Performing Arts Association. What are you modeling this after? Because there are a lot of performing arts centers that we've heard about, whether it be down in Midland, up in Amarillo. Are you modeling this after anything that is out there right now in West Texas, or is this going to be something maybe different than what people have seen?
Well, from a design standpoint, reaching that $45 million threshold allows us now to start design, and I'm sure that members of the board of LEPA will be traveling around the country. We need to see some facilities and find out what we like. We need to see what looks good, and we need to hear about what works and what doesn't work. As far as what we're trying to model for the community, it is exactly that. What does this community need to do the best service for them, each and every person who might have an interest in having a performance? That's what we're trying to do.
As of right now, how large of a facility are you looking at?
I think the building footprint is about 125,000 square feet. We're looking for about 2,000 seats in the main theater. We'll have a black box theater. We'll have some practice areas. We're looking for a grand lobby, you know, a lobby big enough to hold all the patrons to get out of the weather, waiting for an event, or maybe have a wedding reception or some kind of sit down dinner. We're hoping for a lobby that'll seat 300.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you look at 2,000 seats, we've had listeners who have emailed in who have said, it sounds small, you know, that 2,000 seats, it's smaller than what we have over at the auditorium right now, auditorium that's sort of falling apart, but it's smaller than what we have at the auditorium. When this feasibility study was done, did they speak to different groups that have brought performances into Lubbock, celebrity attractions? They've obviously brought numerous performances into Lubbock to see, okay, will 2,000 seats work?
We did, as a matter of fact. Duncan Webb with Webb Management, he is a nationally known theater consultant out of New York City. He came in the summer of 2011, and we interviewed countless users to try to figure out what that sweet spot is. I had conversations with people about a month ago that said 1,400. You don't need to build more than 1,400 seats. Had a conversation last week. 3,500 seats is what you have to have. You've got to find a balance, obviously, and we're going to rely on our consultants. Now that we've, again, reached this mark, we get to bring those consultants back in and say, let's consider this again. Let's reconsider. Let's look at this and make sure that you're still supporting your original determination.
Can you hang out for one more segment?
You bet.
All right. We'll take the break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation also about now the future, where LEPA heads with this Performing Arts Center, and more about downtown Lubbock as well when we come back. Yeah. Back on the Chad Hasty Show, News Talk 790 KFYO, Chairman of LEPA in studio, Lubbock Entertainment and Performing Arts Association, Tim Collins, joining me in studio. Again, thanks for coming in.
Glad to be here, Chad. Thank you.
And then KFYO News' Rob Snyder decided, hey, I want to jump in and ask a couple of questions as well. So Rob's in here.
Yeah, I decided to hijack your interview.
Yeah, it happens. That's live radio, folks.
Well, and I'm glad that you came in today, Tim, because Chad's been mentioning, this past week at the station, mentioning having you come on to talk about the Performing Arts Center and everything. And my question was more of a big picture question with the center, or a series of questions, is this. The current Citibank Auditorium has a seating capacity officially of 2,803 seats. From what's been said over the past year, the center that y'all are looking at putting together, your projected seating capacity is down to 2,000 seats. I've noticed a discussion, something similar with what is actually played out in Amarillo. The Amarillo Civic Center is at 2,300 seats. The Globe News Center, their big prestigious center, is only 1,300 seats. And I guess my more pointed question is, why are you guys designing a center that would have a reduced seating capacity from the Citibank Auditorium when this Performing Arts Center is being specifically designed to eventually replace the Citibank Auditorium as the biggest auditorium in the city.
Well, I don't know that we're designing our facility to replace the Citibank Auditorium. That's a question that the city of Lubbock is going to have to answer on its own. We're trying to design a facility that's both economically feasible and suitable for touring road productions as well as the local community. So as we said earlier in the segment, we've had a national consultant tell us kind of where we need to be. Now that we've reached our milestone, we get to bring that consultant back in to start the actual design and to talk about this again. And so we'll be reexamining that seating capacity. The question that you have to look at is what's economically feasible to build and what makes sense when it comes to rentals. You know, we can build 3,000 seats or 3,500 seats, and if the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra can't afford to rent our building, then we've defeated our purpose. Now, we're not exactly, you know, trying again to go out and make sure that the symphony wants to be in our facility every time, but we've got to make something that's going to fit somewhere in the middle, find a sweet spot for that capacity.
Well, wouldn't it be possible? I mean, there's new construction techniques with arenas and auditoriums across the country where you can, use curtains and other partitions to be able to cordon off maybe part of your upper deck or balcony, and to where if you did build a facility that was 3,000 or 3,500 and, say, the symphony wanted a more intimate setting, I would think that, you know, that could be possible to be able to, not just them or other, tenants as well, to cordon that off, make it smaller usage and smaller fees too.
And we have that in our process already. We're planning three balconies, and so you would have about 1,100 seats on the floor, and then the balance would be spread out over the two balconies. And they can be curtained off and darkened, and it makes the seating and setting more, certainly more intimate if you do that. But again, you've still got to pay for those seats, and you've got to pay for the space that you put them in. And so finding that sweet spot is critical to the process. But again, we're going to look at this going forward. We've got a pre-development period that's about 6 months where we will be hiring our architects, our consultants, our operator, the for-profit operator that we intend to have come in and operate the building for us. And those folks will all have input again. If we hire an operator that says we're not going to be able to attract X, Y, or Z without this many seats, then we're going to have to reexamine our situation.
Well, I mean, speaking personally just for myself, I guess my concern would be that this new facility would become more exclusionary than inclusionary if it ended up being a lower seating capacity venue for either the number of patrons that could attend events or the type of events that could be, housed at that facility.
Well, I think we have a tendency to become more exclusionary if we have to have a ticket price so high to cover our construction cost that eliminates folks from being able to come. And so I think that's a critical point we have to look at, is what economically fits our community, and then build to that.
You spoke of having the architects, discussions with them coming up soon. Do you have enough money set aside with what's been donated so far to maybe have the architects come up with a A, B, C plan where, this is the big seat plan, this is a mid seat plan, this is a small seat plan, to where maybe public input could help you guys decide what type of venue at the end of the day would be built?
Exactly. And you will have those options, and you'll have options about what the facility looks like, what its design is going to be, and we'll have budgeting all along the way. The construction contractors will be involved in budgeting, and we'll be able to see this as we go forward. And one of the things you kind of do is you make sure you handcuff these architects and say, this is what our budget is, design something that fits it. And if you miss, you get to come back and help us again, because, at the end of the day, we're always going to be controlled by the construction budget.
Right.
Visiting with Tim Collins in studio, chairman of LEPA. Let's look at going forward with this. And you've heard the criticism that's out there. You've heard, the concern that's out there. And I know you've addressed it at different times, that you look at other performing arts centers that have been privately built, privately funded. But then after however many years, it falls back to the city to fund and taxpayers to go through and to keep up maintenance. For those who fear that happening, how can you reach those folks and say, this is not going to happen? At least that's not what's planned to happen with LEPA.
Well, at the very least, I can tell you that's not what's planned. We, again, have to go forward in faith on that we're going to be able to generate these revenues, but we have the backing of a couple of tremendous foundations who have given us some assurance that they will have some contribution to our operational reserve and endowments. Will we ever be out of the fundraising business? Probably not. In all honesty, Chad, we know that we're going to have to be raising funds throughout the life of this facility. But one of the things that we've come upon is this for-profit operator, an operator that comes that has a motivation to have this facility in use as many times as possible, who has a monetary remuneration for doing that, and therefore they're going to make the best use of this facility. And so that's the point we're trying to get across, is that we have a different motivation to keep this facility full.
Have any local school districts or other organizations pledged to use your facility? You know, one of the things that occasionally happens around Lubbock is the graduation crunch for auditoriums and other facilities, you know, at the end of May, beginning of June. Has anybody reached out to y'all for the new facility?
Well, we actually reached out to them. In our pre-planning stages, in the feasibility stage, we spoke with every school district about what the possibilities would be for the use of the facility. Graduation was obviously one of them. One act play was one. We planned to have a black box theater, a small theater that would seat about 250 or 300, and that would fit that kind of activity very nicely. And so we expect we'll see a lot of use from the school districts. Now, obviously, you can only have one graduation at a time, but we'll work our way through that to have the surrounding area. We expect to actually reach about 60 counties. You know, we want to have a broad reach around the South Plains for people to come in and use the facility.
Do you plan on this facility being used year round and for multiple different, whether it's a comedy show, ballet, you brought up the symphony, different types of performances there?
Absolutely. We plan to build a facility that will allow for the Broadway tour, for the small, intimate, personal performance, whether that be a singer-songwriter or whether that be a comedy act. We will have opportunities for speaker series and things like that. Maybe you have a lunch series and you've got a speaker in the auditorium and a sit-down lunch outside. We're planning a catering kitchen. And so, you know, we hope that this facility can do a lot of things that make it usable.
I know construction cost at $85 million. That's what's been projected. You want to raise another $30 million for an endowment. How long does that $30 million last? When you did the feasibility study, said, okay, here's how much it would take to operate a performing arts center. How much will $30 million, and you said you won't ever get out of the fundraising game, but let's just say, how long will that $30
million
last?
Well, we would expect in today's economy, with the interest rates the way they are, that $30 million would provide us with the operational revenue that we need each year. If we can reach that $30 million goal, then hopefully we might be able to slow down on that fundraising. But that was the idea, is a $30 million cash reserve would keep us in operations. And there may be an ask at a time when we need a major renovation, you know, 10 years down the road and it's time to refurbish all of these seats and the carpeting and stuff. There may be a time where we have to come back and ask. But if we can reach that $30 million mark, we can ease up on a constant ask.
Let me ask you this. As we wrap up, let's say there's a performance the same day as the Lubbock Lions Club Pancake Festival, and you have some other events going on downtown. Where are you going to put everybody? How does parking work in that situation?
Well, you know, Chad, it's something that we've looked at already. We have a shared parking agreement to be negotiated with the city in our contract for the DPS side. But what a great problem. If we have that problem, then we will know it ahead of time. We can make plans to it. To address it for that particular day. And what a great problem. That means that the Civic Center is successful. That means we are successful. That means downtown Lubbock and our goals are being met. And absolutely, we'll have a way to find an answer to those problems.
With your site plan, do you have any parking set aside immediately on the DPS site, or would that site be strictly just for the building itself?
There may be some room. That site is about 5 acres, and when you start trying to put 125,000 square foot building on it, you know, we're going to fill up a great deal of it. We'll have a 3-truck well for parking of road shows equipment and things like that. But, you know, there's not going to be a great deal of parking on our particular site.
Tim, how can people find out more information?
LEPA.org. We've just had a new website developed, and a timeline of our project is there. We've got video of some of our press releases and things like that. There's some ideas of what we're doing, and there is an online donation portal. If you care to participate and help us with this great project, then you can go right there and make a donation online.
Tim Collins, thank you very much. Appreciate your time. We'll get you back in studio soon.
Love to do it. All right. Thank you.